invite you to go ahead and stand, if you would, this morning, and as we begin our service in a word of prayer. And then if you'll stay standing and grab that hymn book, Shane will come. We'll have an opening hymn this morning. After the hymn, the choir will be singing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the privilege to gather together, Lord, in person here today at Independent Bible Church of Duryea. Lord, we're thankful for those that may not be able to be here in person because of sickness. Lord, because perhaps, as many of our church family, we have several who are shut-ins, just not able, Lord, physically to get to church anymore. But Lord, I know they watch faithfully from home, some because of distance. I'm thankful, Lord, for live streaming that folks can watch and participate as much as they can with, Lord, this, the Lord's Day service. Lord, we thank you for our missionaries, the Comstocks, Lord. We thank you for their faithfulness in New Zealand these 10-plus years. We're thankful for their faithfulness on furlough, Lord, visiting churches that support them, giving accounts on what God has been doing and what their goals are for the future. Lord, may we lift them up in prayer. I pray that folks have prayed about, Lord, financially today to give, Lord, the love offering at the end of the service, Lord, to be a help and a blessing to them financially. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that was, Lord, taught in Sunday school and in the presentation and the video that we learn more about New Zealand, how we can pray more effectively for you to work in that country. Lord, we're glad that we can be here today, Lord. We are not guaranteed another day. And Lord, we know it's appointed unto men once to die and after this to judgment. Lord, I pray each day, today, Lord, you would be glorified in our lives. I pray each person here today, Lord, if they did die today, they would know for sure that they would go to heaven, their sins are forgiven, because at some point in their life they saw they were a sinner, saw that Jesus Christ died for their sins, and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ by calling upon him in faith while turning from their sins. Lord, if there's someone here today or watching that has never done that, Lord, I pray they would not put that off for a more convenient time. I pray that, Lord, today would be the day they trust Christ and receive the free gift of salvation. Lord, for those who have and are assembling together as brothers and sisters in Christ, I pray we've come today to worship you. I pray there be nothing, Lord, between us and you, the Savior. I pray, Lord, we be right with you and right with each other. And I pray today our hearts will be tender to receive the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, use the preaching, use the music even now. May we lift up our voices in praise to you, Lord, for you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Grab that hymn book as Shane comes.
All right, and it's hymn number 26, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. Hymn number 26 in your hymn book.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise him, for he is thy help and salvation. O ye, O hand, now to his temple draw near, join me. Love.
you so much. You may be seated. This time we're going to stand as we sing 374, and as we sing, the choir is going to come down and join you. Be Thou My Vision, 374. And by with thee one.
my treasure thou art. On the last high King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, all bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Master.
Take our hymn books one last time, and 575. I thought about let's sit while we sing, but it says stand up for Jesus, and that's just not right. So let's go ahead and stand as we sing. 575. We'll sing the first, the second, and the last. First, second, and last.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed.
On the second,
stand up for Jesus. Trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day. We that are men now serve him, our cares unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger, and strength to strength oppose.
On the last,
stand up for Jesus. Strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh,
so much. You may be seated. And we do a special music just before the message this morning.
Be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. Be not afraid, I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not sweep o'er you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed. You are mine, you are precious in my sight. Be not afraid, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not sweep o'er you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed. You are mine, you are precious in my sight. My love for you is everlasting. My love for you shall have no end. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the floods, they will not sweep o'er you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be consumed. You are mine. You are precious in my sight.
You are precious in my sight.
You are precious in my sight. You are precious in my sight.
It is a blessing, as I said this morning, to be able to be here today. My name is Craig Comstock. We have been your missionaries to New Zealand for over 10 years. We've been in New Zealand about 10 and a half years at this stage, a little bit over that. But you started supporting us before that. I'm here with my family today, my wife Leanne and our three children, Rebecca, Jared, and Kalissa. And it was a blessing to be able to report on the ministry. If you were here in Sunday school, my suggestion is get a prayer card, email me, and I can email you a link to our presentation. You can get a video or a copy of that and be able to watch that sometime. But the Lord has been very good to us in New Zealand the last 6 years that we've been there. Been there a total of 10 and a half, but this last term was about 6 years as we were waiting to get our dual citizenship, so we pushed off furlough a little bit. And we have seen the Lord do a number of great things there, which you'll be able to see in our video. Currently, we're on a 7-month furlough visiting 58 of our supporting churches, and you are the 29th, not in rank, but in sequence. And so, anyway, so you are the halfway mark, actually, this afternoon, I guess, technically, when we're done here. That is halfway done with visiting our supporting churches, which is exciting, because we're excited to go back. We're enjoying seeing family. We're enjoying visiting our supporting churches. But New Zealand is home for my family and I. And we look forward to going home and being able to get, as they would say in New Zealand, stuck into the work there and serve the Lord there. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This passage of scripture we're going to be looking at is often used to discuss supporting missions. And while we'll talk about that a little bit, I personally believe the main emphasis of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is on Thanksgiving. It's on Thanksgiving. This week is Thanksgiving. And that is Thanksgiving time is one of my absolute favorite holidays of the year. Sadly, we do not have Thanksgiving in New Zealand. We wish they did. And we were giving another pastor's family, the wife is American, a hard time this week because they had their Christmas decorations up. We said, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. She's like, well, they don't celebrate here. We're like, well, they should. And we celebrate Thanksgiving usually with the Pipers and maybe with another family, American family. Well, husband's New Zealander, but American family, friends of ours there in the country, sometimes other people. And our church people love it. Sometimes we've had fellowships with them for Thanksgiving, and we try to preach a Thanksgiving message. We know some other families in New Zealand that have started celebrating it themselves, and maybe someday, who knows, maybe someday they will adopt this gray holiday. But growing up, Thanksgiving was a special time of family for me. Our family celebrated Thanksgiving over the course of about half a week, starting on about Tuesday. My grandparents would come to town. We'd have Thanksgiving things with our school and then special services. And then Thanksgiving was sort of a series of traditions with my family. They would come down, and my aunt and uncle, my grandparents would come down and celebrate my birthday, which is a couple weeks ago, and then just over a week ago. And my brother's birthday is early December, so it's birthdays and fun and fellowship, Thanksgiving. It was a special time, and look forward to it every year. But as I've gotten older, I've started to realize that the emphasis of it, when I was young, I looked forward to it because it was a lot of fun, and I got presents, I'll be honest. Not many other kids got presents for Thanksgiving. I did. But as I got older, I started to realize the importance of being thankful, of being grateful. The older I get, the more I realize how much I have that I can be thankful for, what God has given to me, my family, my wife, my children, our church in New Zealand, our church people, our supporting churches. There is so much that I can be grateful to the Lord for. And one thing that I've been challenged with in this passage of Scripture is not just me being thankful to God and what can I do to be more thankful. But the emphasis of this passage, one of the main emphasis of this passage actually, is causing others to be thankful. As we go through this week and we think about this concept of being thankful, I challenge you to ask yourself, am I being thankful as well? That's an important question to ask. But ask yourself this question also. What can I do to cause other people to be thankful? You see, a lot of times our focus is on ourselves, and I think rightly so this time of year. I need to be thankful, and of course we're in control of ourselves. But the reality is there are things that I can do in my life that cause other people to be grateful, other people to be thankful, and ultimately that thanksgiving and praise, if it's directed towards the Lord, honors and pleases Him. That should be our desire. That should be our passion. That should be our focus. How can I honor and glorify the Lord? So let's take a look at this chapter. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal had provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest haply if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that we say not ye should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministry, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Our desire, our goal should be to see God get the glory, for him to be glorified, for him in particular, this season, as we consider Thanksgiving, for him to receive thanksgivings, which can be done a couple ways, in myself offering thanks, but in also doing things in my life that cause others to give thanks to him as well. A little bit of background on this passage of Scripture, or what's going on. Basically, you could call this passage, and the background of this passage, a missions project. The Apostle Paul is writing the Corinthian church about a gift, a promise that they had made to the Christians over in Jerusalem who were going through a difficult time. Some have pointed to this passage and said it's about supporting Paul. It's not what it's talking about. It says in verse 1, for his touching the ministering to the saints. It's not about Paul. Paul's simply the messenger. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes this church, and he says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order for the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. That there be no gatherings when I come, and when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, then will I send with you to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. And so this church had been talked to by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and probably in person as well in some of his visits, about opportunities to give to some of the difficult, or some of the impoverished down in Jerusalem. Jerusalem had been going through a very difficult time. And so the Apostle Paul was in this region, in essence, raising support for a church that was going through a difficult time. Sometimes churches do that. Sometimes churches go through a difficult time and other churches aim to try to help them. And so that's what is taking place sort of in this passage of Scripture. You might call it a missions gift. You might refer to it as that's a little bit different than missions. But still, it's a church helping other believers who are going through a difficult period of time. In this passage of Scripture, there's two different regions mentioned, Achaia and Macedonia. If you take the region of Greece, modern-day Greece, Greece back then was sort of broken up into two major regions, the northern area, which is Macedonia, and the southern region, which is Achaia. And so Macedonia would include churches like Thessalonica, Philippi, or we think of the letter to the Philippians. Southern would be Achaia, which is Corinth. And so he refers to these groups by their names here in this passage of Scripture. And so he says in verses 1 and 2, he says, for as touching the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. In other words, I don't really need to write. You know all of this. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal had provoked very many. Back in chapter 8, the Apostle Paul tells these believers that the churches of Macedonia had given out of their poverty. They were a poor group, and they had given sacrificially to this offering, to this fund, whatever you want to call it, to this relief effort. They had given very generously. And so the Apostle Paul says to this church, look, you promised a year ago that you were going to give. And you were so enthusiastic about it. I shared this with other people. I shared this with the churches of Macedonia. And they were excited. They were thrilled. And your zeal provoked them to give. But it's been a year. And you haven't given anything yet. And it's sort of time to allow your actions to speak louder than your words. And so he tells them, look, you need to be giving. Giving is important. Giving is, if anything, they need to keep their word. And so that's a lot of the background of what he's talking about here. And he says in verse 3, yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest happily, if they of Macedonia come with me, they travel down here with me and find you unprepared. Ye should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. If those of Macedonia travel down and you're not ready to give, you're going to be ashamed. There's going to be a lot of embarrassment. And he says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they who would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. And so that's a bit of the background, what's going on here. So in verses 6 through 10, he gives a number of principles of giving. Several different principles that we need to understand and that we can live by. And the first principle is that, first of all, those that sow sparingly reap sparingly, and those that sow bountifully reap bountifully. If you give little, then you'll reap little. If you give lots, you'll get more. And that's just a biblical principle. In our garden in New Zealand, we did some sowing this year, and it was the first time, and we tried to sow a lot, and we got some produce. But the reality is if you have a garden, the more you sow, generally speaking, unless you have a black thumb, and sometimes our family, we joke saying we have a black thumb. Unless you have a black thumb, generally, the more you sow, the more you reap. That's a biblical principle, and that a principle is applied to souls in Scripture. It's applied to a number of different things. It's a biblical principle. And the Apostle Paul uses that principle here in terms of giving. And he simply says to this church, he that sows sparingly will reap also sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And it's encouragement to this church and to us as well to make sure that we are generous individuals. God has given to us much, and God wants us to share much. And your church has generously supported us for so many years. We praise the Lord for that. You've supported a number of missionaries around the world. And it's exciting to be able to come back after 6 years and be able to show a video that shows what the Lord is doing around the world. What your ministry is doing when you're not here. Today isn't Sunday in New Zealand. Yesterday was Sunday. And they had services, and God was glorified, and the church is carrying on there, and you have a part in that. And yet, you probably didn't think about it. I'm not being critical in saying that. It's exciting to think about what the Lord is doing around the world, and sometimes it's easy to be forgetful. It's easy to forget what the Lord is doing. Because you've sown bountifully, you will reap bountifully. It's a biblical principle. It's one to remember. The second principle is that our attitude matters. Our attitude matters when giving. And this goes to any type of giving that we do. In verse 7, it says, every man according as he had purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The idea of purposing in his heart means that we need to have a plan. To be grudging is to be reluctant. The Apostle Paul didn't want this church to feel like they had to give. He says here, have a plan and don't be reluctant in your giving. Don't be grudging, not of necessity. In other words, not under compulsion. That is never a spiritual motive. And then he says the Lord loves, God loves a cheerful giver, someone who has a joyful willingness to give. God cares completely about attitudes. He loves when we honor him and serve him from a heart that is full. God criticizes and looks down upon all through Scripture those who give or do things and serve him in an external way without a heart behind it. That was one of his biggest critiques of Israel in the Old Testament, and as well during Jesus' ministry with the religious elite of Israel, is it was all about the externals. It was all a show. There was nothing going on in the heart. And they could tick the boxes, and they could say, yep, I did this. Yep, I gave that sacrifice. Yes, I tithed my spices, all these different things. But they were doing it from a heart that was wrong. And when it comes to our giving, whether it's our giving at church, our giving to missions, whether it's just being a blessing to our neighbors or a friend or whatever it may be, God looks at the hearts. And he wants to see a heart that loves him, that is giving out of a willingness and a love for him, a cheerfulness, a joyful willingness. The motive and the heart matters to the Lord. God wants us to give with a good attitude. These are biblical principles of giving. Also, we need to make sure that we give with the provision that he's given to us. And we see that in verses 8 through 10. In verses 8 through 10, we see that God provides to us so that we can give. Obviously, to some people, he provides more than others. In verses 8 through 10, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And in context, the good work he's talking about is this giving that he's talking about. He then quotes in verse 9, Psalm 112, verse 9. He says, as it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. His point being that he gives to those who have needs so that they give. And in verse 10, he underscores that, or he emphasizes that. And he says in verse 10, now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. In other words, he gives more than we need many times so that we can be a blessing to others. It's just the reality of it. God provides for our needs. He gives us many times more than we need, not so that we can have more for ourselves, but so that we can be generous and be a blessing to others that are around us. And this then provides some really neat ramifications. In verse 11 through following, we see some of those ramifications in verses 11 through 14, especially. In verses 11 to 14, we see the results of the blessings that come from giving. He says in verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. In other words, God has enriched us. We can be bountiful in our giving. And then it says this, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. Now, immediately that brings up a question. How does it create thanksgiving? Because a lot of times we think, again, of Thanksgiving as, well, something I do. That's God wants me to be thankful, and rightly so. We're to, in everything, give thanks, the Bible says. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying that something he's doing causes thanksgiving to God. And then he goes into further explanation in verse 12. He says, for the administration of this service, what's he talking about? This gift that they are collecting for the saints in Jerusalem that are going through a difficult period of time. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. There's two different things that result from this. First of all, needs are met. So that's sort of obvious, and that's true. But that's what he's saying here. He says, for the administration of the service not only supplieth the want of the saints, or the lack of the saints. In other words, these Christians are lacking. They're going through a difficult time. They don't have what they need. Their provision obviously provides that. And that is, you could say, a temporary blessing. But it does two different things here. It says, it not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. It causes thanksgivings. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, in other words, doing this, they, the people being given to, glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, in the exceeding grace of God in you. Now there's a lot packed in there. So let's take a look at this a little bit closer. It says, whilst by the experiment of this ministration, in other words, by doing this, they glorify God for your professed subjection of the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. In other words, when you're giving, you are yielding essentially to the gospel. You're yielding to everything that God wants us to do as we obey the gospel. And that's not just talking about salvation. God has given to us so much. And because of that, it allows us to be able to be a blessing to others as well. And so he's saying, as they yield to the Lord, as they yield to what God wants them to do, it causes them to glorify God. I can cause others to glorify God. Now, a lot of times the challenge is I need to do that. But sometimes we don't think about the fact that my actions and what I do can directly impact other Christians and cause them to glorify God. So as we go into this Thanksgiving week, ask yourself this. Not only am I glorifying God and am I being thankful, but what can I do? What things can I say to others? What maybe I can help with in their life that will cause them to glorify God? Because again, if my desire, my goal is to see God glorified, which should be our ultimate aim and our ultimate goal, what are things that I can do to achieve that goal? What are things that I can do to allow God to receive as much praise and honor and thanksgiving as possible? It says, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. You see, as an example, as you as a church have given to us over the years, we have praised God for that. You have, along with other churches, enabled us to be able to go to New Zealand. You've allowed us for 10 years now to be able to serve the Lord there, first in Rotorua, as we helped finish up a church. It's not really a church plan. It was more of a church rescue, I guess you could say. The Pipers had gone there because they didn't have a pastor and they were going through a very hard time. And to see that church eventually choose a pastor, and then us to be with the Pipers be able to move down to New Plymouth, where we started Lighthouse Independent Baptist Church. That church didn't exist. Other people in the past had tried to start churches in New Plymouth, and they had failed at least two other times before us over the last few decades. And the Lord allowed us to be able to go there and with a small group from another church that had closed to be able to start a church there in New Plymouth and see Lighthouse Independent Baptist Church start. And we started with little. I mean, I remember Sundays where it was just four or five people and the Pipers and ourselves. And I remember Wednesday nights where it was just the Pipers and ourselves when we first began. And the Lord began to expand and to expand and to expand. And us to be able to be a witness. This morning, if you watched the video, you saw some of our young people. Anthony, when he first started to come to the church, was a very young Christian. And over a period of time, he's been discipled and grown so much. He's got more to do, but he's come a long way. Caitlin, who many of you got to meet when we were here 6 years ago, and you saw in the video this morning, she was unsaved, as was Jessica as well, when we first started to come to church. They're about 13 rebellious teens, wanted nothing to do with the Lord. Their parents were Christians, but they wanted nothing to do with it. And when we started the church, just a few months after starting the church, we had teen camp. And those young people, well, we encouraged them to come to camp. And the reality is Caitlin and her sister Georgia and Jessica, they didn't want to go to camp. They really, really did not want to go to camp. and their parents made them. And that made for some really complaining, stubborn attitudes that we had to deal with. And some of those people were in our car as we drove down. I still remember it. They were not happy. And they reluctantly went to camp, especially Jessica and Caitlin. And they listened, and they were through camp. And at the end of the week, on either the day before the last day or the last day, I know one of them, it was the last day, they trusted Christ as Savior. And by the next year, they wanted to go to camp. It's a total change. They wanted to go, and they were looking forward to going. And they've been growing and growing. And now we've been here at that church for nearly 9 years. The end of December, that church will be 9 years old, which is enough time now to watch the growth. And we've watched Caitlin go from a rebellious teen that was unsaved to getting married this Saturday to a young man who loves the Lord and is serving the Lord. And together, they're going to be helping to start a new church in Metemeta, New Zealand. Praise the Lord for that. On top of that, you take Jessica, and she's being a witness at work. One of the reasons Jared came to Christ is because Jared was looking for someone at work that went to church somewhere. He was unsaved. And Jessica, all the workmates say, oh, Jessica goes to church. And Jessica invited him out to church, and he came. And over a few months, heard the gospel and from a number of different people. And Jessica and I was able to do a Bible study with him. And eventually, he trusted Christ as Savior, too. And Jessica's been doing Bible studies with my wife. We did one night or two ago. I think two nights ago, I did a Bible study with her long distance. It's a little more challenging that way, but she's trying to do it. And she's grown so much. And when those young people in the video say to you, thank you for supporting us, those aren't empty words. They are thanking you. Because if it wasn't for, and I'm not patting myself on the back, but if it wasn't for your support, we wouldn't be able to have gone to that area to start Lighthouse Independent Baptist Church that allowed Jessica and Caitlin to trust Christ as Savior and Anthony to have grown so much. And so they are looking into that video camera to you, and they are saying, thank you. In Caitlin's case, she's been in this church. She knows this church. They're saying thank you. Why? Because you gave generously, and you, through your giving, have caused, well, our family to praise the Lord and to thank you, and now our people to thank you as well. You might not even know it, but your generous giving has caused people on the other side of the world to say to the Lord, Lord, thank you. Praise the Lord. And you have caused a group of people on the other side of the world to praise God and to give him glory due to your giving. Now, if I hadn't told you that, you wouldn't necessarily know. And we don't always know the ramifications of the actions that we do. We're just responsible for those actions. But that is exactly what this passage of Scripture is talking about, and you have participated in it whether you realized it or not. Our actions, the things that we do, the giving that we do, being a blessing to others directly impacts people and allows them to give praise and to give thanksgiving to God. And you've witnessed some of that even today. We thank the Lord for you. Notice the next verse. Verse 14. It says, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. It causes people to then pray for you. So they praise the Lord. They give glory to God. They thank God for you and what you have done and what God is doing through you. And then they on top of it, pray for you. I don't know about you, but I need people praying for me. And I'm not saying do this to receive prayer, but it is a natural outflow of it. What an example this, what an amazing truth this is. As you consider Thanksgiving this week, again, ask yourself this, what can I do that can cause others to praise, glorify, and thank God. Not just me. What can I do? And then we're given the greatest illustration of this principle possible in verse 15. The Apostle Paul brings this whole thing full circle. Because again, if giving causes people to be thankful, well, what is the greatest illustration of that? The greatest illustration in all of Scripture of this very principle is in verse 15, which says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." We're talking about giving that produces thanksgiving, correct? Well, the greatest gift of all was God's gift of salvation. The gift of his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for the sins of the world. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to earth as a babe in a manger and it grew to be a man with the goal of going to the cross and taking the sins of the world upon him to provide salvation for mankind. That is the greatest gift of all. There is no greater. And that gift should cause every single Christian to thank God. Correct? That's what the Apostle Paul says. He takes this principle full circle and he says, and by the way, thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. It's like the greatest reminder of all for this Corinthian church and to us as well, that giving produces thankfulness. If God's greatest gift causes me to be thankful, and by the way, it should, and if it doesn't, then there's a problem. But if his greatest gift produces thanksgiving, then I need to realize that the things I do, the giving that I do, produces thanksgiving and praise to God as well. So you need to ask yourself this. Going into this season, going into Thanksgiving, beyond that, going into Christmas. It's not that far away. That's hard to believe. As we enter this time of year and we consider giving, we consider thankfulness, ask yourself this. What can I do? I'm not saying give lots and lots of money. It could be a cart. It could be a note. It could be some time. Maybe you give someone some help. Maybe you shovel their driveway this time of year with the snow we've had lately. Who knows what it is? Bring them a meal. I don't know. Maybe it's a word of encouragement. Maybe it is a gift, a financial gift. I don't know. That's between you and the Lord. But ask yourself this. What can I do? What can I give? What kind of things that I can provide in my life that would be a blessing to other people? Maybe it's someone in this church. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's pastor. I don't know. But what can I do? What can I give? What kind of sacrifices can I make in my life that will cause other people to praise God? Other people to glorify God? Other people to be thankful to God? What can I do? And then remind yourself this in verse 15, that I need to be thanking the Lord too for all that God has given to me. So as your missionary to New Zealand and someone that you have supported for 10 years, I say thank you. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for providing for our family. Thank you for allowing us to be able to go to New Zealand. Thank you for allowing us to be able to help start Lighthouse Independent Baptist Church. And our people, thank you as well. But as you look at your own life, what can you do to cause thankfulness unto him? Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for this passage of Scripture and the principles that you have provided here. Lord, often this is looked at as just a missions passage to encourage faith promise or missions giving, but Lord, it's far deeper than that, and it impacts so many areas of life. Lord, I pray that we would be grateful, that we would be thankful to you during this period of time, this time of year. But Lord, I pray that we would ask ourselves, how can we impact others so that we can cause others to glorify you? We love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name.
Appreciate that message from Brother Craig. We're going to have a brief invitation. And after the invitation, we'll have a love offering. And then after that, we'll dismiss, and you'll have an opportunity to go by the table. meet the Comstocks, thank the Comstocks, pray for the Comstocks, encourage them in the Lord. So just before we bow our heads and have a word of prayer and the music begins, we have an invitation. You've been presented the challenge from the Word of God. He finished, what can I do? What can I give? What can I sacrifice? That doesn't necessarily mean financially for the Lord. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave. Okay, so God is a giver. He gave his only begotten Son. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God is a generous giver. He gave Christ. He gave the free gift. It's free. Just like he was saying, hey, I don't. Someone gives you a gift. You say, oh, no, I don't deserve that. I don't want to take that. We think we got to earn it. No, I got to do something for you. You know, it's a gift. It's a gift. I want you to have. You need to receive it or you can reject it. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross willingly, paid for the sins of all mankind. He said, I can give you eternal life. I can forgive you of your sins. You can be in my family. That's a gift. You don't have to. You can reject it. You can say, I don't think so. I'm not worthy. I've got to get my life together later. I don't think I'll earn it. No, it's a gift. It's free. It's been accomplished at Calvary. Christ rose from the dead. I'm the way, the truth, and life. So I'm going to ask you, have you ever received that gift? Have you ever personally, you can't answer for the person beside you. You can't answer for your own child, your friend, your spouse. Have you personally ever received by faith, remember by faith, as you turn from your sins, the free gift of salvation is offered to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've never done that, you need to do that today. Now, God's not going to force you. We're not going to force you here. No one knows what will come in 1 hour tomorrow. I'll do it Monday. After Thanksgiving, it's a busy week. I got to get a bunch of stuff together in my life. I'm not quite ready. No. Do not delay. Today is the day of salvation. If you have received that gift, and you can give a Bible testimony when that happened, what have you done since Christ saved you? Are you known as generous? I don't just mean, every time we say generous, you only think of money. You're not really thinking biblically, although money is part of it. Are you generous? Are you generous with your time? Are you generous with your spirit? Are you generous with others? Are you known for being generous? Because we're supposed to be like Christ. We're supposed to be like our Heavenly Father. He's generous. We're supposed to be easygoing, merry heart, loving, forgiving, gentle, not hard, critical, brittle, angry. We're supposed to be like generous. Generous to give forgiveness if someone asks us. Generous to go to someone and ask them to forgive us. Generous to give financially. The invitation today is twofold. Number one, if you're here today and you've never received the free gift of salvation, you can do that today. You can do it in the pew. You can slip to the back. No one will embarrass you. A lady with a lady, a man with a man will just take it to a private office, answer questions, pray with you, open the Word of God, and show you how you can know for sure you're saved. If you think God's going to ruin your life because you received the free gift of salvation, you don't know God. I know, but if I do that, I'm going to have to give up. Give up what? God made you. He loves you. He has so much for you. Your life will be so transformed. If you're a believer, are you generous? Are you right with God today? I'm going to encourage you to get things right if you're not. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to have a word of prayer. You'll hear the piano begin to play. Our song leader will come. God's worked in your heart. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you need to go to a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe you need to kneel right there at the pew. Maybe you need to slip to the back and say, I'd like to talk to someone. If you're afraid, you go with your spouse. So you go with a friend. Ask someone to go with you. Don't be afraid. Father, I thank you for the word of God this morning from our brother. Lord, I understand the message was primarily for God's people, the saved. But yet, Lord, the invitation is for all of us. Lord, whether we have been to this church our whole life, whether we're visiting today, whether we're here today because of Thanksgiving week, or Lord, whether we are a longtime member, the question is, are we a child of God? Have we ever received the free gift of salvation by faith? We received it. We asked God for it. We believed by faith. We saw that we were a sinner. That sin condemned us to a devil's hell. We could not earn salvation by any way. There's none good, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, if there's someone in our midst today watching from home who has never trusted Christ, who has put it off, who believes they're a good person, who is waiting for another day, Lord, I pray your Spirit right now would draw them to you. Lord, they would not fight the Holy Spirit, but that they would yield. Say, yes, Lord, I want to be saved today. I need to be saved today. I see my need. I see my lostness. I see my sin. I see that you loved me, that you died for me. I see the free gift of salvation with my name on it. I want to receive that today humbly by faith. Lord, I pray that folks would be willing to deal with you and work with you and call upon you. Lord, for the believer today, I pray they've not got cold if they've been saved for many years. I pray, Lord, they've never lost the wonder of it all. I pray, Lord, that they've not lost the Thanksgiving spirit, not just a holiday in America, but, Lord, the Thanksgiving spirit that all believers should have because of what you've done for us, the unspeakable gift. I pray we'd be generous in our time, our labor, our efforts, our giving, our finances. Lord, that we would be known as a child of God because we are generous, because we've been forgiven. Lord, have your way now during this invitation time, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The piano's beginning to play. Our brother's coming. God's worked in your heart. If you need to trust Christ, would you slip out today as heads are bowed, eyes are closed? If you need to come to the front, I'm here at the front. Be glad to pray with you in any way.
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me my great salvation so rich and free. Thank you, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me my great salvation so rich.